Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Home of the Mafia, come here to feel at home. Okay, yeah.
I hope everybody listening is just picking up some tips
tonight. Yeah.
All that's happening in my head is that hymn that goes, the king of kings.
Someone will have heard of then, if you're asking us. Otherwise, it's a not fair question.
No.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. Why is it special? Well, because for the first time ever, we are recording this video, and we're going to release it early to our patrons on Patreon. Don't worry if you're not on Patreon. You're obviously still listening to this, but you might be interested in checking us out over there. More on that later. The other reason why this is such a special episode is that we have a very lovely guest today. Please welcome comedian Sarah Pascoe.
Yay!
Yay! Hello.
Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you.
Being one of the drunk women.
Yes. And yes. Also, welcome. Detective Pascoe just sounds awesome.
Yeah, yes, right? Because of D'Ellen Pascoe, there was a TV program where one of the detectives had my surname, and I was just out of school, so it was like too late for bullying. So I was like, ha ha.
Amazing.
It was funny. Immediately, I was just like, I went straight to like, oh, those kids will think you're so cool. You're like an old white male detective, I presume. Like, but no, of course, bullying. Like,
yes. Dream, yes. Dream. Yeah. Right. Well, really Sarah, touched. We always kick this off the same way, and that is to ask, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I've had a normal amount of crimes in my life, which I'd say is quite lucky. You know, when you go to not been murdered, like that's pretty good. Like none of the really bad crimes. And I was trying to think about something that would be fun for us to chat about. So
yeah,
I was also a victim, but it was mostly my mum because she's gone out with two con men.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Two.
Yeah, two. Really, really minor con men. So the first con man, he lost the court case. Like, she took him to court. So this was, he's absolutely verifiably guilty. My mum was single with three children. And I think part of that made her a little bit susceptible to men that if you had any self-confidence, you'd go, no one likes me that much. Like, no one's that interested straight away. But this guy, Paul, he wanted to move into our house straight away. He told my mum to book this holiday and he borrowed £2,000 from her.
Oh my God.
Then he just didn't come to the airport for the holiday. And my mum spent the entire holiday like just bereft on this beach. And like me and my sisters were like, oh, we could, you know, play in the sea or something. And she's like, why? Paul's not here. What's the point?
When we got
home, he'd robbed us and stolen our car. And so she tracked him down and she obviously reported him to the police and stuff. And it turned out that he was married and had another family.
And
literally for £2,000, which just shows you what a horrific crime to do to a single mum with three kids working so hard. But essentially she was so trusting and he just manipulated her. And then because she knew where he was, she could see that her car was parked outside his house with this other woman. So she took him to court and she won to get her money back and our car back. But then what happens, and it's really, really awful, actually, that if in that case, especially if someone owes you a lot of money, what you have is like something put on their wages. So you can have like, you know, £15 a week or £30 a month.
Right.
But if they leave a job, you have to do the whole court case thing again. So he just kept...
You're fucking kidding.
Oh, my God.
So it was such a small amount of money, but she was like, it's the principle of the thing. He stole from us. And then he just left the job again. And so she did it a couple of times and then she was like, I've just given up because the court thing obviously is time expensive and expensive.
Yeah.
So then you think that's terrible luck to have met a man like that. It'll never happen again.
Yeah.
And the second con man, I was older, so I wasn't in the house, but he was actually in the news, this guy, because he pretended to be a doctor and he was a doctor.
God.
And it really was like, you know, I think they made an ITV drama about a very similar thing, but with a woman playing it, where essentially he put on a white coat and walked around the hospital, like with a stethoscope on. But the funny thing, guys, is that my mum's boyfriend, right, was called Kavin, right? And when she told me she's going to a guy called Kavin, I was like, oh, that's not a name. Like, you know that, right? Like, that's not a name I think exists. And she was like, yeah, it's just Kevin with an A. And then he didn't steal from her or anything.
I think he
was trying to see like what he could get out of her. And he told her he worked for the hospital because my mum works for the NHS. And anyway, it was then all over like these local papers, like, oh, this man has been defrauding women of lots of money. This is his name. His real name, Kevin, but he just put an A in it and was going under the name Kevin.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That was his big con.
Jesus.
Wow.
I mean, it didn't get past you, though, Sarah. You were like, I can smell a rat here.
You know what? Someone's made up their name. I can just tell. I can just tell. That's not a real name.
That's a skill. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. And heartbreaking. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
It is heartbreaking. I think, obviously, all kinds of crimes, what they demonstrate is lack of empathy for the person you're taking from. And, you know, sometimes that's very easy because someone might shoplift and think, oh, Tesco's doesn't need this, or it's not taken out from the staff, or it all gets added back into the price of all the products. Like,
So
that's why it's easy to block empathy. But then someone might do that in a smaller shop and go, it's all right, they've still got plenty of stuff, they can survive. And then some people do that directly to people, whether it's theft or, and then, in cases of assault and things, But all of it involves not seeing the person as the same kind of human as you, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Like, certainly making some kind of narrative in your head that you can try and justify it. Like,
what was your reaction to your mother, post Kevin isn't a name? And then when you found out, like, it really isn't a name, what was that like for you with her?
That one, because I was older, that one's just funny. Like, it's just completely funny.
That's the light one.
My mum wasn't in love with this guy, but the guy before, I think what's really hard is that my mum really did believe the best in everyone for a long period of her life. Like, she really, she so wanted like a happy ending, like with her, a man who would come in and they would live, she'd get remarried and they'd accept her children, which just meant that she was, it was almost too easy to trick her. And so she always had such, because they're not even her worst boyfriends, actually. She just had such a horrible taste in boyfriends that I think for a long time, actually, I wasn't very sympathetic because I was so furious that these men were like allowed in her house.
Well, the first one is just the definition of invasion. Like, how else can I make you feel?
I mean, it's so traumatic. It's just horrific on so many levels.
Also being a kid on a holiday that you're not allowed to enjoy because it's been a complete ruse. Like, that is so sad. Sorry,
how old were you, Sarah?
We must have been about 12 or 13. Well, I would have been about 12 or 13.
Okay.
Okay. So old enough to understand and absolutely get the situation. Not very tolerant.
I always think about like cons like that and people that do these things. It's like, what was the end game for Paul? Like, if your mum knew where he lived and could, he presumably knew, like, used his own name.
Yeah.
Like, did his wife just, because if he was taken to court, did his wife just say, I think she knew.
I wonder if it's how he legitimised infidelity, that he would go and sleep with other women, but he was effectively, like, farming. Because he was stealing from them, he was like, I think that she was in on the con. It wasn't a surprise to her because she knew, because she was driving around in our car. She knew it wasn't her car.
Wow. She is not absolved of that, is she?
God, my marriage is boring. I mean, we have many years left, so we could always kick it up a notch, but Jesus.
I know, but also the second you say that, Taylor, I'm like, I'd be more worried.
Be worried.
Because that's what they always say when they're like, I genuinely didn't know. He was so boring. We're just so normal.
It's funny you say that, because I've had that a lot where, I don't know if it's just when he starts to explain what his job is that I glaze over because it's not very interesting or anything. And then, like, I have had nights where I can't sleep. I'm like, he could do anything and I would have no idea.
Yeah, that would be
which
the first
kind
trick.
Of relates
that
to
would
our
be the
case
first trick.
A bit.
Make it so boring that they're never going to latch onto a detail. So if you forget a detail, they don't know.
Yeah,
I do worry as well. Like, I'm in on a con, and he's like, I told you when you were watching
you
Married at First Sight Australia. I told you. Oh, did I nod and say, yeah, babe, yeah.
Okay, what you guys need is secret cameras in your house, because I want to test both these guys. I don't trust either of them. Secret cameras, and we'll watch it back and see if they're gaslighting you and what they're hiding.
Okay. This is definitely the way.
Are they coming back with the cars that you've never seen before?
Yeah.
Look out for that.
How many cars have you got parked around your house? Have they got other kids' toys in the back?
We have a lot of phones. Like, are those burners?
So
what's happening?
Phones.
My husband would be the worst drug dealer in the world. Oh, it'd be terrible. I love the image of that. Hello, come in. I'm doing a very bad Welsh accent. That was insulting to everyone. Okay. Sarah, one thing we always ask is if you could have one or both of these perps, these con men, in front of you, and you can say whatever you want, or you can do whatever you want, what would you do?
I think I would absolutely like give this to my mom as a moment. I don't think Kevin would be worthy of the time, but I think she probably would. After all of this time, she would want to still say to Paul, I think she needs like her Beyonce moment to go, you tried to hold me down and you can't. People like you, they come into my life, they make me stronger. You took £2,000, try £20,000, because I'd have had that 10 years later if you'd stuck up. Like, she needs, that's what I would to give her.
Nice.
The opposite of a trial, because I guess actually, in lots of like criminal cases, the victims do get to speak, but they get to speak then. Like, I guess actually with the Golden State Killer, it's years and years later that people did get to stand up in court and say, okay, you did the worst thing possible, but you didn't destroy my life. My life has continued. Fuck you.
Yes.
And I think like that empowerment moment to say to someone, you're the bad person with the bad life. Thank you.
God, that's such a good point.
Really good.
Yeah, because presumably like murderers and killers and criminals, they're not that bothered about ruining people's lives or making people feel sad. Do you know what I mean? In the sense that I think it's better that in years time.
It's not for them because it's not about hurting them. I don't think they're like, and now he really saw what he did is wrong. It's like, I don't care what he or she hears. I need to say it for me.
Yeah.
And I'm just using all of my ex-boyfriends in my head. None of them are criminals, but I'm just like, oh, what I'd say now.
Oh, Hannah, aren't they? Aren't boys all criminals, really? Isn't that what true crime has taught us? They should all automatically go to prison and we let the good ones out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very, very interesting.
Are you going to get angry tweets about that? Shall I say I was joking?
Oh, no. We only get angry tweets about saying hanged wrong.
Oh.
Because sometimes we say hung by mistake. Yeah.
And they are well hanged, it's to do
with... I actually think that it's etymologically correct. You can still say hung. You can still say it. I've heard Stephen Fry say
Thank
it, by the way.
You.
Because I was one of the assholes. Because when I did tour guiding, we were taught that it has to be hanged. Or hanged. You can be hung from it, as long as you don't kill you. But if it kills you, you're definitely hanged. But actually, both are absolutely fine in proper English.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
Whoever, at whatever your name was, yes. that.
Do you know what? We've brought it up so many times with such vitriol. They're no longer listening. They're gone.
It's one of those little facts that you really cling on to. Like people who go, actually, Big Ben's the name of the tower, not the bell.
Yes!
It's like, well done you. Sorry, everyone knew what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
It really
actually
does.
Frankenstein's
feel like
the monster.
That.
Frankenstein's the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually a great tweet that was something like, what is it that Frankenstein's the doctor and you, the person pointing this out, are the monster?
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Sarah, thank you so much for sharing those tales with us.
Yeah, oh my God.
And it is now time to solve some true crime. Are we ready for that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, baby.
So just a warning, this episode is going to contain bad Italian pronunciations on my part, but I will do my best. We are going to talk about somebody called Vito Cacciofaro, better known as Don Vito, also known as the boss of bosses. Question, what could he be known for?
Boss of bosses?
Yes.
That is a really, really great title.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's just all that's happening in my head is that him that goes, the king of kings. And you know, when you were a kid, and then like someone would always say the extra of kings when there wasn't an extra of kings. That's not helpful to the case, but that's what's happening.
It's really helpful to get inside of your head like that, though, Katie. I like that. That's beautiful.
Also, if the boss of bosses is listening, now they've got an idea for a theme tune.
Yeah, right?
It's like, not only am I on a podcast, I've now got a tune. So Vito is his name. Vito.
Yeah, Pasco's so making notes. Name, Detective Vito. Pasco is in the elite force that makes notes.
I'm making notes, yeah.
It's only she's only like the fourth person who's done that.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's impressive.
I bet it's a psychopath test. I bet it's an absolute, this person is too busy trying to imitate the correct behavior. It's got
psychopathically awesome.
It's you, Jenny Eclair. I've forgotten who else.
Fern Britton.
Fern Britton wrote it down.
She did.
But great detectives.
Yeah.
So the boss of bosses.
Yep.
It feels like it's a cool name unless you gave it to yourself and you were my boss at Nationwide in 2008. Like that, if he called himself the boss
up,
of bosses.
Derek.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, come on.
Carriad used to work in W.H. Smith's and there was a Waterstones next door and her boss once described the battle or the ongoing kind of battle on the high street between the two shops as like the Somme.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Really, really like that, like kind of just bigging something up far too much by himself. We're like, come on, guys, this is the Somme out there.
Wow, that's gorgeous.
I always remember my dad telling me when, because he was a London taxi driver and we lived on the Isle of Wight at the time, so he'd have to go back to London. And he came back to the Isle of Wight and got a cab on the Isle of Wight. And the bloke said to him, like, oh, what do you do? And he says, oh, well, I'm a London cabbie. And the bloke like turned to him and just said, it's like meeting someone from the SAS. And he meant it. He really meant it.
Oh, wow. But I guess actually because obviously the knowledge is so respected.
Yeah.
A guy who's like, I've only had to learn Isle of Wight. It's literally.
Yeah. Yes. It's
right,
tiny.
The sea. And you know all of those roads. Yeah.
Yeah, there's one road to learn.
You can go north or you can go south.
So this, so Boss of Bosses, what year is it again?
We don't know yet.
Oh, we don't know yet. And then
just
the
name, and I'm just wondering what you think he was known for. What is he known for?
If he's the Boss of Bosses, I think he's organized crime. That sort of part of the criminal group.
Spot on. Okay. Yeah, Detective Pascoe, you've got it. I'm giving it to you right away. I mean, the name is kind of a giveaway, and then you're like, we don't have to lean into stereotypes. But yeah, Don Vito, Boss of Bosses, he was actually one of the very first big mafia bosses in Sicily, which is home of the mafia. I don't think that's their tourism slogan. As I said it like that, Sicily, home of the mafia.
I think you have to know, though, because still there is very old families there. And for instance, if in a restaurant somebody comes in and people kind of stand up or be respectful or leave a table, as a tourist, you still have to do that. So you can't be like, tell me, I thought the mafia was history. You have to like get up and eat your fish outside.
Have you been? Have you been to Sicily?
No, I haven't. I haven't been to Sicily, actually. I said that so confidently.
But, yeah, I got super excited.
Because when I was in Italy, I had a job in Italy for 3 months. And and people had, I was doing theatre and education in schools, so it wasn't glamorous. But some people did go to Sicily. And then that's what happened to one group, is they were like, so we were just eating. And then this man come in and everyone was like, went quiet. And then they were like, you've got to move table. And we were like, oh, why? We paid. And they're like, move or
get out.
Shot to death quickly. And then it was apparently it was just mafia. It's exciting. Wow. Unless they just do that for tourists to keep it spicy.
I respect it either way. I love either version of that.
The fact they're just like, these guys look like drama students. Fuck them. Get them out of the window seat. We don't give a shit.
Tell them the mafia are here. I don't want them anymore.
Or it is part of the tourist board. They're like, these guys, drama. Yeah. They're going to be talking about this, chatting on the mainland. We'll say to them, don't tell anyone. And it'll just all they'll talk about.
Reverse psychology, get the PR.
I love that that was probably like 10 years ago and it's got onto our podcast now. Like it's keeping on going.
It's worked.
Home of the mafia, come here to feel at home. Okay, I have a two-part question now. When was the mafia formed and why was it formed in Sicily?
I don't know about Sicily, but I feel like the Prohibition is when the mafia got like big and powerful in America.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
That's fine. So you're thinking Prohibition era?
I think that's when there was definitely like operations, but that doesn't really help Italy. So it must have obviously existed before then.
Yeah, I think it's older.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's something, because a really big thing in Italy was its unification. So they were all kind of had their very, very own separate jurisdictions, including, you know, like police and laws. And I wonder if it's something like that, where they don't like the new rulers. So I would say it was something like that, because it will be about power, where they don't like the mainland or someone else having power over Sicily.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Hannah George.
Well, no, it's a great question, isn't it? It's something I haven't considered, like, why did it happen? And often things like that happen, like what Katie says around Prohibition or something. Basically, I imagine something was maybe going wrong.
Right.
And they needed to sort it.
It's a reaction.
To probably a governmental thing that they were like, right, we've got to sort this. Sort of, we're not being taken care of.
Perhaps. And also being called the family, like that's about, it feels like locality, obviously things being passed in a non-official way, like... So it feels like that's why it would be working against the system.
Yeah, right. It's be like, we've got local concerns and these faceless people from over there are trying to run us, but we're the local family that know what we need or whatever.
You guys are spot on. Well done. I mean, even the Prohibition stuff we will get into, because for the United States Mafia, that was a very key point. But this, the origins of it, have to do with exactly what Sarah said. So this is an island where, because of its location, was always ruled by invaders, just one after another. It's chaotic. It was corrupt. So the mafia did not start as a criminal organization at all, but as clans, basically, that were protecting themselves from the rulers, and they had their own rules of justice. It was not about committing crimes at all. So my next question is, do you know what the word mafia means? What's your best guess?
Does it mean family? Because that's
a really good guess.
That would be family, like chai tea.
That's a really good guess, though.
Muscle?
Ooh.
I like that, too. Muscles.
Yeah.
Muscle family.
Muscle.
You're safe. You're with us. We're strong.
Is it something like the word clan then? Is it something more similar to that?
I nod at everything because I support all thoughts here.
I know, I love this. It's like there's no wrong answers. Tina Taylor is just going, good, thank you for shouting out. Thank you for playing the game.
I will say that depending on what source you go to, there are different interpretations. So like muscle might be one of them.
Is it like if Taylor Swift, is it got a Taylor Swift vibe? Is it like squad? Does it stand for your squad?
Hold on to that Taylor Swift vibe, Hannah, because that is coming. I will tell you, it's a Sicilian Arabic expression meaning acting as a protector against the arrogance of the powerful.
Oh. Wow.
Ooh, very much the Jackie Weavers of their day.
It's quite ironic to start off with like the arrogance of the powerful and then call yourself the boss of bosses. The thing that you most hated.
It's full circle. It's like Animal Farm. Everyone is equal, but some
power
people are more
equal. Power does corrupt, actually, Katie.
Yeah, and it really didn't stay noble for very long. Oh, so just a point of
disappointing.
Interest. I know, but we kind of saw that coming because we've all watched TV.
God damn it, human nature.
You were saying the Taylor Swift vibe. Mafia members actually don't call themselves mafia. Mafia is a very generic term that's used for different criminal organizations. They prefer to be called the Cosa Nostra, which means our thing. Love that. I'm sorry, this is kind of our thing. You can do your own organization. Wow. Yeah. Next question. Chock full of questions tonight, guys. What was the first crime the mafia began committing? How did they just go from sort of organized clans into, hey, wait, we can capitalize on this? And I can give you a hint if you want, but I feel like you might not even need that hint, guys. I believe in you.
Is it money laundering? Like something like that, where, or something to do with like currency, where it's just something so easy, where you can just take a bit more money.
Yeah,
it definitely has to do with money.
I mean, the only thing that I'm thinking is, I always like to bring these crimes back to me. And coming from an island myself, I feel as though I'm like thinking, who is the Isle of Wight mafia? And I do think I know. But the point is, you know, the Isle of Wight, very famous for smuggling. Was there some kind of smuggling thing going on? Which islands are
That brings it. I was going to snowball on what Sarah said. And that also links up with what Hannah said. I was thinking some kind of tax evasion. So they were the money laundering could be a way of dodging paying something. Or it could be like this smuggling stuff. They don't like, basically some outsider has come in and said, right, you all have to pay us tax now.
Right.
And they're like, we're not doing it. So they find it's some way of avoiding doing that, which doesn't make sense, but I'm sticking with it.
You guys, I really love your logic. I would genuinely hire all of you for any number of jobs if I could offer that. My hint was going to be that during this time, it's still very chaotic and there's a lot of violence towards landowners. So I will just tell you to move us along. They began.
They become police, vigilante police.
No, they begin extorting money from landowners in exchange for protection.
Oh, it's protection.
Of course.
The protection racket. Okay.
The classic. Right. Yes. This is the origin. Like it began all the way back then and carried on to the Sopranos.
Because that's what they would.
But here's the key. Is that what you want is a business where you don't have to move any product, but you have an income.
Yeah.
And that's what a protection racket is. You actually don't have to make or sell anything to get money. You literally are selling not even a behavior. You are selling a threat of a non-behavior.
Yeah.
And a threat. Like it's the best thing to make money out of.
Yeah. You just have to do one or two things and then hopefully everyone will just take you seriously.
And then it's just generational. It's just generational then. You don't have to do anything. You can be so lazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is ideal.
You just got to flex every now and then.
Did you guys have all of the rumors about Blockbuster videos when you were teenagers that they were owned by the mafia? So the reason I thought that about stock was because Blockbuster videos, back when they were successful, their whole point was that then the amount of their stock doesn't change. Because you rent the videos and no one keeps them, which means that it's the easiest place to money launder. So are things like laundrettes, something where you you don't have income outcome. You don't have to show this is how much we sold because you're just
right.
Yeah, so it's the best place to money launder.
I love that.
Protection racketeering is even better.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
I hope everybody listening is just picking up some tips.
Yeah. Tonight. Yeah. The world has changed. Do what you need to do.
And it's going to be a very difficult couple of years economically, guys. So whatever you need to do, just please give us credit, actually. We'd like to be the epicenter of the spree.
Yeah. He gave you the intel.
I'm just picturing trying to pitch that to somebody like, I can protect you. No, really. Give me money and you'll see what I do. So Don Vito was born in 1862 in Palermo. By this time, Italy has been unified, but just for about a year. So it's still complete chaos.
Right.
As a teenager, he still could not read or write, but he meets someone who teaches him how to read or write. Who do you think that person was? I said read or write. I think it was both, actually.
someone we'll have heard of then, if you're asking us. Otherwise, it's a not fair question.
No.
I'm just going to say, I know it's a job interview, but I will at some point say if it's not fair.
Really appreciate you pushing
back. This does not work for me.
What type of person, what relationship?
What were they to him?
What were they to him? That's a better way of asking it.
Was it
Sarah Michelson?
Was it an inappropriately older than him babysitter that then became his wife or something like that?
Part of that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Which part do you think is correct?
Or inappropriately?
He literally just married a teacher.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. His teacher.
No, a teacher. She was the same age. He was a teenager. Okay. She was very young as well.
So nothing untoward is happening.
And not yet. It's funny though, because they say that they had at least one child and then she and the children are just written out of history. I could not find another thing about them. Patriarchy, I don't know. Hilarious. So that's all we know.
Drunk women solving crime.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
His dad was working as an armed guard at this point, and that was a job that involved loads of mafioso because he's basically guarding the land. Again, it comes back to protection. He was hired in a legit fashion, but he's next door to, you know, somebody else who's doing it, and that's how Don Vito is recruited. So to be inducted into the mafia, as we've all seen on TV and in films, you have to go through an initiation ritual.
I haven't ever seen that because I've really avoided mafia stuff because I just find it so dull. Sorry to say.
Are you having a kick-ass time now, though?
No, I'm enjoying this. This feels a bit like a quiz, a bit like learning. I'd really like this. I hate that kind of violence. Like, I hate fighting's really hard to watch in film and TV anyway. But that proper, like, one person's on a chair, it's not a fair fight.
I can't bear it.
Even when I know what you mean.
Yeah, I do.
People love The Sopranos, but I can't. I won't like a character who does that stuff. Like, it's
no.
Yeah.
It's really jarring. I don't like those bits. I turn away from those bits.
Yeah.
Well, surprise, guys, there's an initiation ritual. And it dates.
So what is it?
Well, this is my question to you, because it dates all the way back to Sicily in the late 1800s. What do you think?
You should just tell us and stop asking us when we really don't know and you know everything.
Such an empowering role being the host.
amazing.
You could have sent us an email with all of this info on, and then everyone listening and watching would have thought we were so clever when you were like, what's the initiation ceremony? And I was like, oh, you had to go swimming with no pants on. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be so frat boy. I think it's going to be like you have to kill someone, don't you?
Oh, God, is it? Not an animal, please.
No. It's no. not. It's actually not nearly as dark as you think. It's kind of... It's very dramatic. I will read you. And this is interesting because this is a firsthand account from someone who went through it. He says, I entered a mysterious room where there were many men armed with guns sitting around a table. In America, we just call that a diner. In the center of the table, there was a skull drawn on a piece of paper and a knife. To be admitted, I had to undergo an initiation consisting of some trials of loyalty and the pricking of the lower lip with the tip of the knife. The blood from the wound soaked the skull.
This is so homoerotic, isn't it?
It is a little bit.
Isn't it?
It is a little bit. I'm also pissed off by this paragraph because I'm left wanting more when someone says, consisting of some trials of loyalty. Like, well, tell me what those were.
The reason it's been short is because actually it's like, do you promise... To be loyal?
Yes.
Prove it. Yes. It's a tiny speck of blood.
I know.
I'll do it.
Also, I kind of think, like, as someone who has, like, busted their lip open before in the past, like, and the way I did it was that I was with my friend when we were about 8 years old and we were in a jacuzzi because we went swimming and there was a jacuzzi there and she was jumping up and down in the middle of the jacuzzi and I looked over at what she was doing. And she came out and like headbutted me in the lip. So then it was like blood jacuzzi because of like just how much blood. Like, but that's the thing. If you're going to like do
Hannah,
something,
you're
to
in the mafia
have...
now. You're in the mafia.
I was going to say,
if they find out,
you're
all
a
they
jacuzzi.
Need to do is check you're loyal.
Yeah. Everyone will have to leave restaurants for you now, Hannah.
Yeah, whenever you want. Like Pizza Hut, Pizza Express, wherever you go.
Does that include like queues in Pret and stuff?
Because yeah, I'm yeah. down with as long as there's Italian food in there, they do like these meatball subs, just point at them and then like get out of here.
On Deliveroo, they'll know.
They'll absolutely know. They'll come to you before they go anywhere else. You'll get other people's deliveries probably now.
Yeah.
You'll get, I'm in the mafia.
Free stuff.
Yeah.
How did I not realise that? Because also like my blood went on her skull because she
right.
hit me in the face.
You didn't even know it was initiation.
Shit.
I wondered why I'm so tough all the time, but I thought it was just me, a bit of me.
Were there tests of loyalty? Which like, do you like me? Am I your best friend? Am I your best friend?
I think I failed because I had to say, no, it's Katie Thorogood. And like, that well, didn't go down well.
Oh,
okay.
Man. Oh, okay. You right. failed the initiation.
Yeah, there's a price on your
that
head.
Food, please.
Yeah. So, cue jaunty montage. Don Vito is kicking off his mafia career in Sicily. It's all going great in an immoral kind of way. There's extortion here, assaults there. He's committing lots of crimes. He doesn't do any time, though, until this happens. He kidnaps someone. What type of person do you think he might have kidnapped?
Okay, we know he's got teachers as a type, guys. So has he been back around the primary school checking out ladies? Could it be and that someone else in education? Maybe a headmaster now. He's gone up in the world.
I like your thinking.
And right now I'm like, fuck me, I didn't take any notes. I've got no callbacks to do because like, you're a genius. Why do I never take notes?
Well, if you want one of mine, Hannah, I've written down when Taylor said it took me a second, she meant jaunty montage, but I thought she said jaunty montage. So I wrote it down. I thought it was a man. If you want to, you can have that.
Thank you. My answer is that.
Jaunty montage.
That's a gift to us all.
I think he kidnapped somebody that his mafia is at war with. So maybe like a rival protection racket or maybe someone who's hurt one of the landowners that he's supposed to be protecting.
Or maybe a family member then. Maybe it is someone's daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is very grim, but they do kind of attack
but
family
wasn't
members
there
and things.
Supposed to be a whole mafia thing that they only hurt other mafias? Like
oh,
they
really?
Not... Well, they're not supposed to hurt civilians or...
Oh, that's good.
I suppose if they're family... I don't know. I'm pulling this out of my ass.
There are codes of conduct that have changed a whole lot when it's convenient. But yeah, there are codes of conduct.
Guidelines.
So there are some rough guidelines.
The pirate's code.
Yes. So basically, he did kidnap a young woman, but she was a 19-year-old baroness. And Katie, what you were describing, they were doing all the time. They would, they would kidnap enemies and extort. It's all about extortion. So they would get ransom money all the time. Now, he tries to do this with the Baroness, who's basically somebody, you know, born into nobility with political powers. And he's doing this because he wants to try to extort money from the government at the time. The government at the time was super corrupt and basically in cahoots with the mafia. So they're doing favors for each other back and forth. But in this case, they're like, no, this is too far. This is way too public. Everyone will find out how obvious it was that we gave him money. So they finally put him in jail. He does 3 years time and he's released in 1900. Now, to escape police surveillance, because anyone who does time for the mafia then gets followed by the police, even if it's just for show, it's still happening. He moves somewhere else. Mm. Where do you think he moves?
Can I just stop you there?
Yes.
I've got some questions for you now, Tim. Okay.
I doubt I have answers.
No, because this Baroness, did she survive, firstly?
Yeah, she survived.
So she was all well. And so now I'm kind of fascinated with her story. Not only was her crime so integral to this bad man going to prison, but like the rest of her life, like this huge thing happened.
It's very true.
What's her story?
I don't know her story, but what a good question. She was only 19.
At the time.
At
but
the
imagine
time.
She was like 50 or 60 and an old lady telling her grandkids, oh, did I ever tell you about the time?
I know. I'm the one who landed him in jail. Such a good point. Yeah. I know
She's been dining out on that story all this time.
She's still telling it because Italians live much longer than we do.
They do.
Where do you think he moves? Oh, did you have more questions for me, Sarah?
No, that was it. I just wanted to make a point about how some of the supporting characters aren't getting the same attention.
Do you know what? We feel the same way, and we really do like foreshadow the female protagonists of the crime stories. And also what we often end up doing is if there is a woman, we always try and exonerate her and blame the men.
We take it so far sometimes, but I can always you talk about empathy, I can always find, no matter how horrific, I'm like, yeah, but
this is why it's really good to notice that, because that's what men have for each other as well. And that's why it's problematic that so many of the judges are them. Because of course we have the same things. We go like, and this is an awful example, but it's the first one that comes to my mind. Like when Brock Turner committed his crime, and then the judge said, "What a waste of his life." It's because he couldn't help but see himself in him. In a way that never would. Because that's so far away from our behavior. But to a man who has a similar circuitry, he could imagine himself that happening to him. And it's just, and now the rest of my life is pretty much ruined.
Yeah, just because I raped an unconscious woman. So unfair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a very
But it is that same
true.
Thing. My mum, I know we talked about her a bit earlier, so I can say this. So she was a magistrate. And with magistrates, there's always three of you. So it does stop, because anyone can be a magistrate. It does stop an abuse of power to an extent.
Ooh.
But my mum never sent a woman down.
Wow.
She was very proud of it. But it is. I mean, it's still sexism. But essentially, she was just like, it's someone's mum. We're going to work it out. I'm going to argue with these two guys until they just want to go home.
But also, that's awesome, because it's like it's repairing what went wrong.
But also, I think it must be something that people see a lot in, probably in the police, but especially in the judiciary. It's just people going, bad decisions, poor education and actual poverty. Like literally going, if those things weren't there, it's not about good and bad people very often with like those kind of crimes.
No, it's about limited choices.
Yeah, and bad decisions, thinking you didn't have a better decision, all of that stuff. So that should be extended, not just based on gender.
Well said. Where the fuck did he move, guys?
America. Okay.
Oh. You think America? Did he go to America? Oh, Taylor's already celebrated. America.
He did.
I agree.
He moved to America. He moves to New York. He goes where you would expect he would go, although he does spend some time in New Orleans as well. Now, he is working as a fruit vendor. Do you think that he goes clean for a time, or does he jump right back into the crime network?
So he's partly moved here to avoid the police surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
So he might just be laying low. I think he might lay low for a tiny bit longer just to make sure the police haven't followed him.
You'd want to assess
yeah.
everything as well, because
You'd want to actually see who's doing what and where you fit in.
Yeah, you've
it.
Got to get the lay of the land before you start breaking the rules.
Yeah, there's no LinkedIn in 100 like New York, is there? Like, you can't just go straight in and be like, oh, me? The boss of bosses? Yeah, hi.
Yeah, right, you've got to check who's in play.
Yeah, LinkedIn wasn't until like 1904.
Yeah, so there
was,
you
like,
go.
Completely on his own.
Oh man, never give yourself a nickname.
I would love the LinkedIn. Oh, sorry.
No, it's all right.
I'm just picturing the LinkedIn of that time, like, survive typhoid, hire me. What were we saying, HG?
Oh no, it's gone. I can't remember. But I imagine it was blisteringly funny.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
And I sang female workplace over it, and it was not audible.
That's the opposite of what that jingle is about. My God. He actually jumps right into it because the networks between Sicily and New York are very tight. So he knows who to talk to. He knows who he needs to get in with. Yeah, so he's got this cover job as a fruit vendor. And he gets
involved. You don't need LinkedIn when you're the mafia.
You don't. No. You are LinkedIn.
Yeah.
The mafia actually means LinkedIn. I lied before. He gets involved with the Morello family. The head of the Morello family then was Giuseppe Morello. He was the first boss. And later down the line, the Morello family was run by somebody called Frank Morello, who went on to inspire a fictional character. Who do you think that fictional character might have been?
We're in the early 1900s.
We are, 1900, 1901.
But that's Giuseppe, but Frank is his son.
Oh, it's not his son. Frank is like a nephew, like
but
a great
a generation, but he's a generation younger. So he's 1950s
is when 50s. Frank, is in power.
Oh, so is it one of the good fellas?
Oh, good call.
Is it Tony Montana, or is he called Tony Montana the Scarface?
Oh, yeah.
But he's 70s, right? 70s, 80s, like he's but not maybe, 50s.
But then maybe he's based on someone historically a little bit before that. I'm going to go for Danny Zuko from Greece because he's a bit of a bad boy.
I really want to give it to you.
I want that to be true.
Yeah. I really want it to be true.
Katie, I've got everything crossed.
Katie, I'm so sorry. Did you give an answer? I'm losing the plot here.
No,
what do you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking like the Godfather.
It's the Godfather. It's Vito Corleone himself.
Don Corleone.
Things were serious in Sicily, but the Morellos are about hardcore vengeance. Like, they are brutal. And it's estimated that around this time, they committed at least 60 murders in about 10 years. And those are just the ones that we know about. So you did not cross these guys without pain. Now, they were known for a specific type of execution that became their calling card in New York. Any ideas what that might have been?
So it would be something to scare people off, wouldn't it? It will be horrible.
Did it make it into The Godfather? Can we just copy that?
Yes. Was it always on the day of his daughter's wedding? And she had to just keep getting remarried.
When they asked for the
Your daughter has to get married. I'm going to kill somebody. Do you know what? I watched The Godfather so late in life because I got sick of people going like, you've never seen The Godfather? Oh my God. And I was like, I've never wanted to. Like, sort of similar thing. I just wasn't drawn to it. And then I finally watched it right after I moved to London and I had gotten a really bad ear infection. So I would watch it subtitled, but with the volume all the way up. And my roommate hated me because she would come home. She's like, oh my God, are you still working through The Godfather? So I'd watch it in little chunks. And I remember none of it. I don't. Oh. So I don't even know, Katie, is my answer. I've not
seen The Godfather either, so I don't know how they killed people in it. But I want it to be something like slitting a throat and letting people bleed out, like something.
Ooh.
Or the other thing is, like, if you stab people in the guts, it takes ages to actually die and is very painful. So something like that. Because I feel like, I feel like it should be a knife, not a gun.
Yeah, and also it's got to be a deterrent for, like, you don't want to die, but you don't want to cross these people. But, like, also, I'm getting caught up in stereotypes from cartoons. Now I'm thinking, they put this stuff in cartoons that we saw when we were kids of, like, you know, the concrete on the feet and then putting them
in the water.
So now I'm thinking about cartoon death because that's ever so jolly.
And in New York, there is that bay, isn't there?
Yeah.
Which is where they would do it, yeah.
the sleeping with the fishes thing.
Yeah.
So is it they drown them? They push them into a...
Yeah, while they were still alive.
Mm.
These are all very valid thoughts and
the cartoon one especially.
Well, I was going to come to that actually, Katie. So the thing that you really nailed is that it was all about being a deterrent. The death itself actually was not public. So they would often just shoot them, or sometimes they would, I'll just read the way I wrote it rather than trying to improvise it. They were known as barrel murders. So I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but it became a thing in Sicily and then it was brought over to New York. The victim was either dead when they'd put them in the barrel or dying, and they'd put them into these big wooden barrels and they wouldn't sink them. They would put them on the sidewalk in front of, you know, the rival gang's house or the victim's family as a warning.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll talk about the cement. It's called cement shoes, Katie, what you're talking about.
From the cartoon?
Yeah. So that's like the nickname for it, cement shoes. That became one of the biggest cliches about the mafia, like that's how they're murdering people. But it turns out, and I didn't know this till I researched this case, there's only one verified case of that ever happening.
Really?
And it wasn't discovered till 2016.
With the ones that you said, oh, that's just the ones we know about. You know, maybe they were doing, there's a whisper campaign of concrete shoes.
Do you only have to do something like that once for that to be what you're known for? Because you literally made someone some cement shoes. If you shit yourself in assembly, the rest of the school are going to be like, it's not going to be like, I only did it once in 2016.
It's really unfair.
Why is everyone always talking about it?
Yeah. So whatever, like, shit pants.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, wow.
You're right. Yeah. So they're basically going like, there's another barrel. Okay. We're tracking the barrel.
Yeah.
The other thing is that rival gangs are starting to use the barrel method so that they can just blame the mafia. A convenient thing to do. Like, ooh, that body belongs to you now.
If you were going to like poison your husband to try and get rid of him, that's exactly what you do. Just shove him in a barrel outside Marjorie's house.
Get it chalked up to the barrel people.
Yes.
So there's a specific New York cop at this time who's starting to really sniff out the mafia activity. He's getting closer to lots of arrests in the Morello family. And they hate him, not just because he's getting close, but for another reason. Why do you think they might really detest this guy?
I think he used to be in the mafia.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I think he's
gone clean.
Yeah.
And gone blue.
Yeah, why would they hate him? Is he anti-Italian? Is he racist?
Mm. Okay.
Oh, yeah, anti-immigrant. I want it to be that he's really annoyingly camp. And actually, it's just a personality thing. I'm here to solve the crime. And, and they're like, we're serious mafia guys. Can you take us seriously? Like, oh, stop being so silly. So I found the barrel. Like, I think it's that.
Anybody got a barrel? I'm looking for a barrel.
They just don't gel.
No, that's it. It's just personality differences. They're like, you make what we're doing seem buffoonery, but actually this is deadly serious.
Next thing you know, people are making TV shows about us and movies.
Yeah. He's probably got a camera crew following him like he's doing reality TV, trying to clean up the streets. And they think that's, he shouldn't be doing that either. They don't want to be in the background of his reality show.
So it was basically because he's Italian. He's Italian born.
It's the opposite of what I said.
Yeah, he's the first Italian-speaking cop that served for NYPD, and he can't be bought. So they resent him so much because they're like, you've got the same background as we do, and this is the way you went. So they can't stand him. His name is Joe Petrosino, and he was a real pioneer of tracking organized crime. Like, some of the tactics that he employed are still used today. So he's a big historical figure. How do you reckon things turned out for Joe?
Does he wind up in a barrel?
I mean, it's a reasonable guess.
Yeah, I think he definitely died. And then we know he's not cement feet.
Yes. Yeah, because we've got the statistic of one locked down.
So that's narrowed it down. I think he got shot and killed, yeah.
Okay. You are correct. He was assassinated. I mean, we sort of saw that coming. But where do you think he got assassinated? How do you think they set it up?
I mean, I'm desperate for one of them to go rogue. So did one of them pretend that they turned and said, hey, this is where we're doing the thing. And then actually it was a double-double bluff kind of thing.
Yes, triple agent.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I want it to be that, but also an episode like the finale of his reality show. So... So he thinks they're going to have just like a bitch fight with like some cameras in the bushes. They assassinate.
And it's a real tearjerker, that episode.
Oh, it is so sad. Especially I hate it when they keep doing the flash forwards and the flashbacks. It's like, no, they kill him. It was an awful pasta lunch.
Katie, any thoughts? I absolutely love that this has been brought to the discussion. It's so good. Joe casino.
Was it in a casino? Was it to rhyme with his name? Did they do something like it was like it was a limerick? Shot him in the knee. Oh no, in the casino, like that kind of thing.
And that was then cut from Grease, which is out of order because it's a great song.
Yeah,
bang out of order.
Here's what happened. He was actually assassinated in Italy because. Oh, wow. He was so invested in investigating what was going on that he wanted to get some intel from the Sicilian mafia. So he travels to Rome and he writes a letter back to New York saying, I'm leaving Rome now for Sicily, but I had a feeling that I was being followed. So I'm just letting you know, have observed that I'm being followed. The big reveal of that is that this was an informant who got word to Sicily before he managed to travel there. And somebody said this, actually, there was a bit of double crossing. They pretend to be the informant. So they say, let's go have a drink at this bar and I'll meet you at 9 p.m. And as he's there waiting for a drink, they shoot him. Wow. Six men are arrested for the murder.
In Italy or America?
Not all of them were in Italy at the time, but so I think it's two of them are in New York and they know that they were behind it and then the rest were over there. And Don Vito is in Italy at the time as well. But my question is Don Vito one of the ones that goes down? Because six men are arrested and convicted, put into prison for this murder. Is Don Vito one of them?
He wouldn't be called the boss of bosses if he kept going to prison of prisons. I think he gets away with it as one. We know that it came from him, but he didn't go to prison.
I want to say the opposite just to be different, but that is what I think. But I'm going to say opposite just to be different.
It is not the opposite. He is released. He's arrested, but he's released because he comes up with an alibi. But he is thought to be the mastermind of this entire operation because he was the one guy that had connections in both places.
Right.
The Morello family were native to, you know, they've obviously Italian lineage, but native to New York. So he's the guy with both connections. The fact that he gets away with this, though, this particular crime, just cements his reputation as untouchable. They're like, right. Oh my gosh, this guy, because he's getting arrested a lot. And
also, his peaches and oranges are delicious.
Yeah.
Because he also has a fruit store, which is so perfect.
You can't deny how good the fruit is.
Oh, yeah. At what point do you, like, I remember sort of like having to give up my day job to sort of pursue writing. And I was kind of like, at what point do you do that as a mafia guy? You're like, oh, but the fruit store, it kind of brings me the money. And I feel I'll feel more like a mafia guy if I give up the fruit store.
I think it's the opposite to us. Because for us, it was people like going like, have you gone pro yet? Have you gone pro? And you're like, no, I still temp. It looked like failure. Whereas for them, it looked like respectability.
So absolutely.
I'm still temping.
No, now I have two fruit stalls.
Yeah.
I'm franchising. One's in New Jersey.
I'm double bluffing my temping.
Yeah. Mm. He has some amazing years. He's very powerful. He's a mayor of a town at one point. He gets a position in parliament. Right. Like, he is all powerful. He is owning this. And just kind of a fun fact, historians consider him the sort of originator of the mafia boss cliche, because he started wearing very expensive suits and being very public about wining and dining. And so all of these images that we have, this was Don Vito. He's like, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to be showy about this. His power does not last. He's finally brought down to justice. Why do you think he loses his position of power? What would have changed?
Oh, the prohibition ends.
Well, prohibition has nothing. He's back in Italy now. He's in Sicily now. Okay. Stays in Sicily. Sorry, I may not have said that.
People often use their power if they either do something adorable or silly. So I think, you know, like, what if everyone found out he was a furry?
And they were like, oh, I'm not going to kink shame him. Like, absolutely, do what you need to do in your own sex life. But also, oh yeah, he dresses up as a little Dalmatian. And it's so hard to respect him now.
I like that.
I'm just trying to desperately think of all the gangster films I've seen and all of the things that bring someone down. Often it's another family. It's another kind of thing.
Yeah, and also aging. It's like ape behavior. Like, you can be the main chimp or the main gorilla, but you get weak and then a younger one just has to challenge you and then your power's gone. That's what happens in the jungle.
Ooh. Yeah.
Or just making bad decisions, like getting too attached to something that isn't going to work. And then,
yeah, like he said, okay, I'm going to ban ice cream. Everyone be like, what the fuck, mate? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
What are we going to do on the beach on a sunny day? Think it through.
This is our thing. This is what people like about us.
Yeah.
Italians, we literally, it's gelato. Shut up.
This is our thing. This is Cosa Nostra. Come on. Why he loses power is because Mussolini comes into power.
He comes
into power in 1922. And whereas before you had this prime minister who was very pro-mafia, we're going to use them to our advantage, Mussolini hated the mafia and he cracks down on them. So the mafia almost disappears in Italy during Mussolini's rule, whereas in the US...
Well, Mussolini's his own mafia, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. He's not going to share that kind of power with anyone. He's put on trial. He does this huge roundup. There's like 150 mafia members who are all put on trial. So my last question is, how many crimes is he found guilty of? Because he is found guilty and he does do time.
66.
66. Very good.
Clickety-click.
Clickety-click.
I think it's 11.
11. I don't know why I've turned into a bingo caller.
11.
I'm just trying to desperately. Top of the shop, 90. So let's go 90. It's the only one I can remember.
He is found guilty of just one crime.
Kelly's eye, number one. I knew that knowledge would come in. Okay.
Wow, Hannah.
I didn't think it would be on the mafia case.
I don't know it's Kelly's eye. Who's Kelly?
I don't know. Cyclops, I guess.
Is it?
Kelly's Cyclops. Cyclops.
Kelly is short for Cyclops.
Is this an Isle of Wight bingo call?
I'm sure it's Kelly's eye, number one.
Is it?
One little duck.
I'm not doubting you. I just didn't know it was Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly's
fingers
eye.
On your hand. It's six, you understand. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Okay.
That's very rude.
That's very rude. What a cliche. So he's convicted of a murder, which actually happened decades ago. And it's just what they happen to have some evidence about. But he swears he hasn't done it. And he stands up in court and says, of all the crimes I committed, you convict me of the one I didn't do. He's sentenced to life in prison, and that's where he is thought to have died at the age of 81. However, there are some rumors that he cut a deal long before that and escaped under protection and went and lived a quiet life somewhere. We'll never be very sure, but here's to family.
Cheers, guys.
Drunk women solving crime.
We're going to do a listener crime. So,
okay.
Unfortunately, it starts with my listener crime. I apologize in advance for the long saga. I'm going to read it really fast. And it's not a long saga. I live in the outer east of Melbourne. Oh, God, these details. I'm just kidding. Thanks for sending me that.
But it might be relevant because there's the worst murders in the world are in Australia. Mm-hmm. So I'm especially, and I know.
I love the idea that it's like a murder and Ted is like, we're really going to rush through this.
Rush through this murder.
Give this respect it deserves in case it's a murder case.
It's unsolvable.
If it is, we should ring the police for them.
Okay, might do, but tomorrow, because what time is it there? It's not convenient.
No, it's early morning. This is perfect time.
Oh, this is it. It's breakfast.
Yeah.
This works. Just have that coffee. Yeah.
So, do you remember that sentence? Because I'm just going to carry on. And nearby, we have an area where locals meet with their dogs. It's informal, and it's great for socializing for both humans and dogs. A dog park friend collected four timber deck chairs from Gumtree, which are surprisingly comfortable for anyone passing by to use. And that's really lovely. During lockdown, I would never buy chairs for a public space. I want to be that person.
If you do, and they're stolen, but if the crime is that they've been stolen, you've given them to the world. You can't decide where they are and that you get to every day. If someone's sitting down and go, oh, I bought that. If that is the crime, I've just early said, I don't
It care. Is the crime, okay. Sarah, and okay. that's interesting. So during lockdown last year, one of the chairs disappeared. We soon found out that an occasional visitor to the park admitted that she took it and that she would return it next winter. Grrr.
Next winter?
Did the dog write this? Did one of the puppies from the park write a letter in?
A side note, I never liked her after she defended our PM, Scott Morrison, for taking a holiday to Hawaii during our bushfire disaster last summer. I love the details of this. Oh, by the way, don't like this person.
Okay, so you should do a bushfire with... No, you shouldn't actually, because she's anti-bushfires. I was going to say she should burn all the rest of the chairs, but that actually isn't an effective end to this.
Well, then about 3 months later, another chair disappeared. A couple weeks later, a man that not many people like... Sorry, there's just a lot of like, who do we like? We not. He wasn't invited to our Christmas barbecue. Said, did you notice the chair's back? And said he had found it a few hundred meters away. This man's in his 60s and he's recently had a knee operation. And he said it was very heavy to lift. The dump chair had been spotted by another dog park friend earlier that day on his way to work at the same location. Dodgy knee man. That's harsh. Pointed to. Yeah. Who took the chair? Thank you so much for taking the time to read my letter. Angela Jenkins, thank you for writing that in.
Angela took the chair, number one. And she's doing this to make herself look innocent. Like, that's so blatant. And they all need to get a life. They really do have too much time on their hands. Look, I love my dog so much. He's my best friend. But they're using it as an excuse to hang around other people, and that's wrong. You have a dog so you don't have to ever talk to anyone ever again.
They call that dogging, I think, is when you use your...
Yeah, I'm really so passionate about dogging, I don't talk to other people anymore.
God, no wonder I'm so desperate for a dog. Sometimes I don't want to do people anymore.
Yeah, there comes this point. So I've had my dog for 2 years, but there comes a point where you're so dog broody that all of life is awful without them. And I can say now, because I've had him for 2 years, it's the happiest I've ever been. Oh. And I cry every day about how much I love him. So the sooner the better if you're on the fence and waiting.
Well, speaking of fences, the issue is I've got to get a higher fence because I want the old greyhound and they can really jump. Anyway, this isn't about me.
It's much more interesting than the letter, actually. it's a fixable problem. Get a fence.
Guys, anything to weigh in on the chairs?
Yeah, sorry, I was too gobby at the beginning.
Not at all.
No, it was
not
good.
At all. This is what we like in detectives. Don't hold back. Sometimes you got to interject.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm all for the dog park, of course. Like, very big fan. I think it's interesting because it's nice. But if I, for example, went anywhere, like, for example, in the summer, I went to the beach with some friends on the Isle of Wight and I took some plastic garden chairs with me because the beach isn't very, you know, it's quite pebbly. My friend was pregnant. So I was like, she needs a chair, man. I'm not making her sit on the, like, on the pebbles and stuff. So we took a whole load of those chairs down to the beach. I wouldn't leave them on the beach for the next time we went to the... Like, it's kind of like the fact that she said a few months later, the second deck chair was... I mean, I love the people of this town because that sounds like, why would they leave
it
that?
It lasted that long, I know.
I think you're too trusting.
It's audacious, you're right. It's a public space. If you put something into it, everyone will assume that they are for the public. And that's what I think about by giving something and then going, oh, who's taken my chair? It's like, it's not your chair. And if someone did take it, say if it was that original lady again, I still think like... It's completely fair. I honestly think once they're out in the world like that, can you hear my dog snoring?
I heard a tiny bit. Is he there? Can we see him?
Yeah, I'll show you because I'm gonna take the mic down as well. He only snores for a very small amount.
Oh,
he looks very cute.
This is what people need to join our Patreon.
This is becoming a dog podcast, and I'm here for it.
Oh mate, where is he?
Under the desk. I'll just
light
him up.
Oh my god!
I'm so sorry. You're on a podcast.
Oh, that is a treat. Oh,
I love the fact he's been there the whole time. Just
yeah.
Like,
he was so asleep. And then I put the ring light down. He was like, oh god.
I did feel bad when you showed him, like, and his eye is wide open now. Yeah.
He was having a dream.
Guys, aww. Angela Jenkins, okay. I'm sure that was helpful on any number of levels.
We solved it.
Sarah, there is just enough time to ask you, what have you got going on? Is there anything you'd like to tell us about or plug?
No, not really. Just my deck chair stealing criminal ring. If you are worried about someone stealing your chairs, all you have to do is give me £60 and all of your chairs will be fine.
Love how specific that is.
She brought it back to the extortion.
I'm not greedy, Hannah. I just want £60.
Do you know what? I respect that. Absolutely. I mean, the mafia in me thinks, come on, we could do a bit better, but no.
You're not mafia, you're jacuzzi. It's a totally different branch.
Okay.
Don't piss them off. Guys, this has been really, really fun. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us today. We've had Sarah Pascoe!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.